Warning, the following episode of Warcides Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
It's been 84 years.
It's champion!
Frog Splash connects!
Samoa Joe and a senton! And now Samoa Joe driving Andrade into the canvas. Samoa Joe has won the United States title.
Here is your winner and the new United States champion, Samoa Joe.
The path has been painful, long and arduous, but Samoa Joe has finally captured his first title in WWE.
It's about damn time. It's about damn time.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, this is your main man, your Jaffo brother from another mother. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is A.J. Orsini. How the hell is everybody out there? I'm reaching out to all of you right now in a late, late wintry frozen tundra that is Brooklyn, New York. This is a late Tuesday evening. I'm going to be 100% honest with all of you right now, as I always am on every single episode. Of course, tonight I am bequeathing onto all of you episode 79, and I am going to shoot straight from the heart, ladies and gentlemen. It is late. It is in the wee hours of the AM here. We have had some complications and obstacles that were seeped out and overcome here, but I am short, so to speak, on time this week on when I am able to fit in literally everything that I must fit in order to live my life normally here. Work, school, whole bunch of stuff. This was a very cluttered week, so I am doing this in the wee hours of the AM here. So if you start to hear me drift or drop at some point in time during this episode, please forgive. But I'm going to give you guys 1,000% of everything that I've got here. And as a matter of fact, I have developed a show here. Normally, I fly by the seat of my own pants here. A few notes here and there. General guides and direction. But alas, tonight, episode 79. I told you guys I had some new shit on the horizon. This is something that I was developing for a while now. I've really been trying to come to terms with how to put this kind of project together, and I'm very curious to see how this is going to go. So, what I have decided to do, if you've clicked on this episode, you clearly see that the name of the episode is The Lightning Round. Okay, now, the way that I just said that right now is a lot of about as much energy as you're going to get here. So I'm going to try to kick up the energy a little bit. We're going to do this again, and we're going to go The Lightning Round, 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 round. See that? That was actually really cool. Sound effect worked pretty good. I'm actually pretty talented at this. Anywho, in any way, what I've decided to do is we're going to do something here called the lightning round. What that essentially is I'm going to pick several topics. As a matter of fact, the number may change from time to time. Tonight, we're going to go with the base number of 15. I have chosen 15 pro wrestling topics in which I will be discussing, and each topic will be given only 3 minutes. That's it. I have a timer that will not only be in front of me, but will be heard by you, so you will know when I should start and when I am supposed to be done. This is going to go PTI style. If you don't know exactly what that is, PTI, pardon the interruption, it's a show on ESPN where they do something very similar to this, where they go on for a set amount of time on a particular topic. The whole point is to run through as many topics as possible. That way you can keep the watch, the viewer or the listener kind of interested in what's going on. I usually, when I do this show, I usually pick a few topics. I just go ham on it. This particular time, I wanted to challenge myself. What a time to challenge myself. When I originally thought of this idea, I had a lot more energy when I did it. Now, I am completely exhausted, both physically and emotionally, and I am about to do essentially 15 three-minute promos on topics that are rather fresh. So this is going to be the ultimate challenge for myself. I'm going to put myself on the spot. Even though I am not near my best right now, I'm going to give this sumbitch everything that I've got. So before we get into the lightning round, I just wanted to take a quick second to thank all of you for supporting the show for as long as you have. You know, I say this every time something huge happens, and I don't know if you've been following social media. If you haven't been following my social media, shame on you. Go follow. The links are all in the description there. But if you haven't been following the show, you hear this number a lot in my commercials, the number 15. And the reason why you hear the number 15 is because I have been listened to or downloaded in or streamed in 15 different countries. It's a number that I'm actually more proud of that number than I am the total downloads number, which I'm finding out now is all over the place because I'm on so many different streaming sites now that I'm only really getting the numbers from like one or two sources. I'm just finding out recently that I have to go to each different program or streaming site to really get more accurate numbers. So the number that I thought I was at is actually an even bigger number. So that's actually really cool. So thank you guys for supporting the show, for everything you guys have done for me. You've been hearing the number 15 for forever. And when I got to 15 countries, I got hyped with myself. It's a pretty good number. So I just kind of stopped paying attention to it. It's not like something that's on the Podbean dashboard. Like you have to kind of go looking for those kind of numbers in the statistics. I think there's like a section you can go to like really find out where your show's being heard and how it's being heard and yada, yada, yada. You know, it's really helpful when you want to nail down demographics and you want to do different things and utilize different strategies to try to get a bigger demographic listening to your show. So I haven't really been paying too much attention to the list of countries, but I did recently recently look at it or take a brief note as to where I was. I was curious, and I jumped up 5 more. So I posted those in a photo folder on the Orsini's Uncensored Mind Facebook page. If you go to the photo albums, you'll notice there's a photo album called The Countries of O. I put all the flags to all the countries that I've either, again, downloaded, listened to, or streamed my show. Because it keeps stats of all that, so I know which countries are doing what. So there it is. I put it on there. So I want to take the time, if you're listening now. I recently got a nice little boost in France. So if you're listening out in France or any of the 20 countries, thank you so much for listening to the show. I don't have a bilingual version. So if you're listening to my show, I really hope you know English. I hope you didn't click on it and realized, oh, I don't know what this guy is saying. Fuck this. I'm hoping that you guys have some background with English. I only speak English fluently. So I don't really have the option of going bilingual here. Nor do I have the payroll here on the budget for the show to get any translators in here. So if you are listening to the show in another country, thank you so much. If you are here in the States, once again, also thank you. I'm almost up to 50 states here. Almost. I think I'm in the high 30s right here. So, of course, the Northeast really supports me hard. This is where I'm from. I'm from New York. So, but I've gotten a lot of good numbers recently out in Utah, as a matter of fact. So for all you guys out there, guys and gals, whoever downloading the show out in Utah, totally want to thank you guys for that. If your name is Joey in Idaho, apparently I made a joke a while back about some people in Idaho, and my numbers have hurt in Idaho ever since. I don't know what it is, but if you're in Idaho and you want to listen to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, I love all you guys. If you don't listen to my show, then fuck you again. We're back to the fuck you part. But I'll try the I love you guys for now to see if I can get you back. If I don't get you back, then fuck you and the potatoes you rode in on, which I can only assume is your form of transportation in Idaho. At this point, it's just got to be predominantly potato everything. Potato tubs, potato houses, potato TVs. It's just potatoes, right? I don't even know why you guys have a license plate. It should just literally be made out of potato skins with random numbers and letters strewn on it. But I do love you guys, so if you want to listen to the show, please do. So I want to take time out to thank you guys for that. Obviously, the different platforms, a lot of stuff going on here on Orsini's Uncensored Mind. Guests coming up. Again, I don't like to make announcements on guests and stuff like that because I want to make sure that when I make the announcement that someone is coming to be on the show, I want to make entirely sure that they actually show up. But there has been some big talks for some big things leading up to WrestleMania weekend. Like I told you guys, WrestleMania is going to be in North Jersey, very close to New York City where I'm at. So there's a lot of people coming into the area for that one particular weekend. I have been working diligently to get as good a guest as I possibly can with that cast of characters. I had my eye on one in particular as my like number one choice. And it looks like my number one choice may actually happen and come through here. So that's going to be very cool. I cannot wait to make that announcement as to who's going to be the big, huge guest coming up before WrestleMania weekend. And I'm trying to get him on before WrestleMania weekend because I know during, forget it, I'm not going to see anybody. I'm trying to get as many people as possible before WrestleMania weekend. Also, as a backup, I made a joke. I believe it was with Ian for one of the episodes that I wanted to do a live WrestleMania podcast, a live episode, WrestleMania Roundtable, my first live roundtable. We made a joke when we did the top five in your houses. We ended it with that joke, I might just do it live. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the huge announcement I wanted to make here. It's going down. We're doing a live one. I'm going back to the studio where I did my one-year anniversary. I haven't set a date just yet for the actual filming because, like I said, WrestleMania weekend is going to be very difficult to figure that shit out. But I definitely wanted to do a live episode for that for two reasons. A, I just want to do live radio again. That's pretty cool. Second, this time live radio with a bunch of people is going to be even better. It won't be too much. I'm not going to have any disastrous stuff going on in your ears. I will be joined once again by Stephen James, so I will go ahead and announce that because I need Stephen to get into the studio, so he's guaranteed to be on the show. It's his studio that we're going to be walking in. As a matter of fact, he has a podcast that you guys should really check out. I shared that recently on my IG. You guys can check that out. So he's definitely going to be on. The two guests, I will keep to myself until I figure out what's going on, but it will stay at the usual four. I'm not going to go overboard and have a bunch of people, yada yada, all yelling and talking over each other. That's not going to work for anybody, so definitely wanted to do that. There is another announcement that I want to make, but I want to get started with this lightning round stuff. I'll make some more announcements at the end, so stick around for the end to find out what's going on with that, because this is one of the hugest, the biggest of the announcements is actually involving you, the fans, the listeners. So stay tuned to the end to figure that out. But let's get into the lightning round here. Let's really get this started. Once again, just to remind you guys, it's 15 topics at random. I do have a list, but I'm not going in any particular order. So I'll pick the topic there. I'll start the timer. We'll do the 3 minutes. And I basically have 3 minutes to get my point across. If I can't do it in three goddamn minutes, then I got to work on my shit. This is me getting better, folks. This is me challenging myself, trying to be a better performer for you guys, and at the same time, getting you guys into the conversation. If any of the 15 topics that I bring up tonight ring any bells with you and you feel like you want to share some shit too, please feel free to hit me up, and we will discuss this shit on the show. I say it all the time, and I've done it in the past. So hit me up. Not afraid to be cold on the carpet for anything, or if you agree. Agree or disagree, just hit me up. So lightning round. I'm sorry, wait, no. Let me do that again. So, guys, lightning round. Pretty dope. Okay, so we're going to start this timer up. I think you should be able to hear it. You should be able to hear it. So let me double check here. Dun, 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 dun. This is going to be really dope. This is going to be really dope. I think it's going to be really fun. All right, so if I put this in here, will I be able to see it? Nope, I'll just be able to hear it. And I don't want to do that. I actually want to see it. Because that will help me in deciphering when I need to go home, baby. 3-minute promos are not easy things to do. So I'm just going to, and I have to do 15 of them. So I'm kind of setting the bar. See, as you can hear, there's the bing, 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 and boom. There you go. That's going to be the start of the 3 minutes. Let me skip ahead so you guys can understand how this works. And then 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then bam. Oh, that is annoying. Good. And it gives you a few seconds overtime. I will try my best to not use the overtime. I think it's like a 5 second overtime. So I'm going to do my best to not utilize that. The plan here is to go topic from topic. So as soon as you hear that, we start over or start the clock over, I go to the next topic and we move on. I can promise you two of these topics are going to give me a problem because this is probably just too much to talk about. But I'm going to give it my damnedest, okay? All right, so here we go. The lightning round. Okay, start her up, bitch. Got my beer ready. 3 minutes to start. Boom, 3 minutes begin here. As, of course, you guys have learned this week, Bruce Pritchard is returning to the WWE. He is returning to the creative team, which he was a member. He's been a member of the creative team since the 80s, pretty much on and off. This guy went from WWE to TNA to MLW to all kinds of shit. This guy's been a road agent. He's been a manager, an on-air talent, a boss. This is the same guy that had the shouting match with Jim Cornette on his return, which also lasted the blink of an eye. Anywho, this guy's been around for a long time and predominantly has been known for his work with the WWE. When he was in the WWE system, even as a creative guy, he basically worked under Vince McMahon a lot. He's the one guy that I think has a reputation of being able to look at Vince and say, yeah, that might not be the best idea, and not get his head chewed off. Why am I bringing up that particular portion of his job? Well, for everyone who heard about Bruce Pritchard, everyone's been kind of 50-50. They're kind of for it, they're not for it. Some people think it's a lateral move. Some people think it's a step backwards. I don't think anybody really thinks it's a step forward. I think anybody with a brain in their head will pretty much tell you that he's not going to really do a whole lot for the overall production or the overall vibe of the show. I don't think Bruce Pritchard has anything up his sleeve that's really going to change the whole foundation of the goddamn thing. But I will tell you this. I am actually for this. I love it. I love the idea of Bruce Pritchard coming back, but not if he's going to be thinking, not if he sits at the table and actually believes he's going to come in and creatively just shake the shit out of things. That's not going to work. That's not his role. I think his role should be exactly what it was before, minus some of the responsibility. He has the ability to tell Vince no, and that's something that the locker room, the management team, the creative team, road agents, that's something that's sorely needed in the WWE. There has to be someone that Vince will look at. Well, the guy will say, Vince, no, not a good fucking idea. And Vince will genuinely consider it. You know, everybody else, he's just so dismissive. And he just pushes everybody away and just says, this is the way that I want it. This is the way that it's going to work. Bruce doesn't need to go into a creative meeting with a notebook full of shit. I just need him to hear someone come in with their notebook full of shit and be able to tell Vince, listen, I think some of this is good, I think some of this is bad, and Vince genuinely listen, okay? I'm sure with all the things that have been going on in the WWE, especially the main roster so far, Vince has been bending but not breaking. This will make Vince feel more comfortable and kind of pulling back and letting some of these modern ideas that have been pitched to him kind of come to fruition. So I'm actually really good with this. I hope he plays his role well, and I hope that he's able to convince Vince, there you go, to kind of take a step back and really assess things before he puts him on the air, because some of this stuff sometimes can get a little confused, man. Bam! Look at that! Look at that. That is sexy as shit. All right, start the clock, baby. Boom, you can take a swig of the beer, man. Also this week, we had some disturbing news as one of the WWE / NXT biggest stars here, one of the most talked about stars, the one superstar everyone seems to be getting on board with and pretty much co-signing on, and that's the owner, the possessor of Goldie, Tommaso Ciampa. We heard some unfortunate news about him this week. He is suffering from a neck injury. Now, from what I understand, he's been having some tension. He's been having some feelings in the neck that have been not so good for a while now, but now they've been he's been to the doctors. He's been seen. He's been checked on. Now he's being pulled from shows. It appears the neck injury is a lot worse than they thought. There's talk of him being gone for several months now. For those of you who are unaware, this has happened to him once before when he had the knee, the ACL injury. He was out close to 8 months. With that one, came back, which couldn't have been worse timing for him. They just did the heel turn. He hurt, as a matter of fact, the match where he did the heel turn, the ladder match, he tears his ACL. So he does the heel turn. He comes out the next Wednesday, does a promo, and then disappears for 8 months, almost completely losing all momentum. Comes back. He's just so fucking talented. Him and Gargano get it back together again, and now they're riding high again. Now they got called in the main roster, and here we go again. Now this time the neck. If I'm a professional wrestler, and I've dabbled myself, and I've been in the business for forever, I will tell you this. I would actually rather the knee than the neck. You can work around a knee, as we'll talk about someone who did that a little later on here on the show. You can work around the damn knee, man, but a goddamn neck, there's so much wrong that can go with that. So we don't know the extent, we don't know the specifics. We do know he was scheduled to appear at a company called World League Wrestling. That appearance has been canceled. He's been replaced by Adam Cole, not a bad sub. I don't think Adam Cole would consider himself a sub, but it's not bad. There's other appearances, apparently non-wrestling-related ones as well, where he has been pulled from. They're really being cautious right now with him, and because he's still planning and he's still being cleared at least to wrestle at the TakeOver. He's going to defend the championship, as we all know, at the TakeOver. It's just a matter of who, when, and why. And when that comes down to it, hopefully he'll be safe enough in that matchup to not injure the neck even further, because that could be an even bigger problem. So he's going to take it easy. He's going to take a rest. He's going to put everything on the line, basically, at TakeOver New York. After that, we'll have to see what goes on. He'll be reassessed. Hopefully it's not as bad as we all think or may all hope. But so far, the rumors and the doctor reports are indicating that it may be a little worse than we all thought. So another unfortunate situation for Tommaso, and we are wishing him well. Oh, let's stop here and start over here and pick it back up. Another swig here. I'm taking a drink routine. There is an individual who's been making the media circuit. He has been all over the place. YouTube, he's been on all forms of social media, even Instagram. It's been crazy. He's doing interviews outside of his gimmick. He's doing promotional material for people in Puerto Rico. It's all over the place. Who am I describing? The last person you would suspect, folks. That's right. The Undertaker has been very Undertaker-like recently. The Undertaker has been giving everyone the indication that his contract has been up. For a while now. He's been kind of leading his own Mark life, no pun intended. His name is Mark. And he's just been kind of doing his own fucking thing, man. This guy is just all over the place. He's talking to all the right people. He's doing all the right things, man. He's just living life. This guy has lived the gimmick for, 2019? So, 92, we're talking about 18 plus 19, that is 7, that's about 27 years, for Christ's sake. The guy's earned an opportunity to fucking, my math was completely wrong on that, 37, excuse me, almost 37 years, Jesus Christ. My math has got to be really wrong on that, but I don't, I'm going to get this right. It's been 27 years, 92, 2000 is 8, and then plus 8, so it's 19 plus 8, yes, 27 years. So, yes. I just wasted a whole bunch of my time on that. But it doesn't really matter. He's been doing this for a long time. He's been playing straight down the line. The guy didn't go to the Hall of Fame for forever. This guy rarely did interviews outside of the WWE. I mean, everything was about protecting that gimmick, and it was smart. It's one of the greatest gimmicks the WWE, and I think pro wrestling as a whole, has ever really seen. But the contract is over, and it seems that he's ripped that Band-Aid off, and he is all over the place doing all kinds of promotional shit. There was a situation called the, not situation, there's an event called the Starcade or Starcast podcast that he was going to be appearing on, which was going to be taking place same day, same place as Double or Nothing with AEW. And I guess a few people at WWE, Titan Tower, got their panties in a bunch there, got all kinds of nervous. And I don't know if it was money thrown at him or what it was, he hasn't gone public with it, but all of a sudden after Vince McMahon came out, or was found out that he was really against Taker being on the show, There was a brief moment where he was on, and then a brief moment where he was off. So I don't know if money exchanged hands or what the case may be, but Taker's no longer doing it. Taker himself has stated that there's a very good chance he's not going to be at this year's WrestleMania, and good for him. He needs to take a break. Less is more with him. He was only doing once a year, and still once is more. I saw that SummerSlam match with Brock Lesnar. I was there in the building, and it scares me every time he takes a bump. So if he's done, then be done, bro, and just have fun. Enjoy it. You deserve it. 27 years. 27 years. All right, you're like an annoying alarm clock. I get you. Go ahead, start it up, bitch. All right, this is going faster than I thought. There we go. So, this year's slew of pay-per-views has been released by the WWE. A lot of changes have been made, not just on pay-per-views, but on pay-per-view locations. Apparently, Money in the Bank will be taken sooner in the year than people are predominantly used to. There's been some move and there's been some shaking. One such move actually wasn't a change in venue or a change in name or anything. It was kind of an omission, actually. A lot of people have been noticing. Evolution was not on this year's schedule, and I'm trying to figure out why the fuck anybody thought it would be. At what point? Now, listen, folks, if you listen to the show, you know I was there. Not only was I there, baby, I bought the t-shirt. T-shirt sitting in my closet right now, the Evolution t-shirt. Got myself an Evolution t-shirt. All the women's wrestlers on it. It looks nice. All right? The good color, good quality, all that good stuff. It was never discussed that this would be a continuous thing. I don't recall any way there being any real serious discussion about people saying that we were going to do an all-women's pay-per-view every fucking year. I don't know where the fucking hype came up about this being an annual thing. Would it have been nice if it would have? Hell yeah. Especially in the position that it was the last time, that October show. It's usually a very dead period, even for me, and I watch everything all the time. It's traditionally a very low period. SummerSlam and Survivor Series is kind of rough. It's usually rough. Evolution kind of sparked some interest in me. I was really interested in that show, and I was really invested in all of that. And to be honest with you, if they did another Evolution show, I would be all for it. Because I tell you this, if they did if they did exactly what they did with the Rumble, if they did with Evolution, I told you guys, it's been a long week. If they did with Evolution 2, we'll say, that they did with the second Women's Royal Rumble, I would be good. Because the second Women's Royal Rumble was absolutely perfect in comparison to the first. Less nostalgia, more on the future, more on the current, more on the here and now. You know, that Evolution pay-per-view was a lot of tribute to the past. You know, you had the Trish and Lita tag team. You had a lot of nostalgia faces in the Battle Royal. The predominant strong matches were current superstars, and that was smart. But if they did another Evolution, I would love it to be even less nostalgia than it was the first time. But so far, we have no indication that there will be. Now, the women have not taken a step back. We're still going to probably get a female main event at WrestleMania. We're going to discuss that also as one of the topics here. The NXT Women's Tag Team Championship showed up on NXT not too long ago, and they've made the announcement they're going to be sharing that belt with all brands. And so that's a big step up for NXT. They have Bayley and Sasha back, especially compete. Oh my God, can you imagine Io and Kairi against Sasha and Beck and Bayley for the tag titles? Absolute dopeness. So I don't know where people came up with this nonsense, but I'm not that upset that they're not doing another Evolution. Woo! Yeah, I get you, buddy. I don't need the overtime, brother. Kick up and give me another. Feed me. I'm hungry, baby. So, we're going to do a two-parter here. I'm going to do one part that connects to the other because I think it'll help me with what I'm discussing, and I think that they fit. So, let us discuss exactly what took place this past Monday on Monday Night Raw, baby, as The Shield for the fourth time, baby. Fourth time that The Shield has reunited, especially coming off of the heels of a disgusting breakup between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. Remember the whole deal? Roman comes out, does the whole leukemia deal, and then Seth and Dean come out for the tag title later on in the main event. Dean turns on Rollins, and here comes the big heel run from Dean, and Dean burned his flak jacket, so I don't know what they're going to do for the reunion. I mean, he's going to have to hit up Amazon or something. And as soon as I think it was the last week when Reigns came back and him and Rollins saved Ambrose from a beatdown. And then this week when Ambrose actually did come out to discuss the Shield thing, but he got sandblasted by fucking Elias. Right when they did the whole they're all together beating people up stuff, and then they did the big Shield pose at the end there. The crowd exploded. Everybody got happy. I'm going to show you this is the exact audio recording of what happened in my house when that shit happened. Okay, you ready? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's the exact sound. I'm done. I can't do this shit anymore with you people. I cannot. I looked the other day, in anticipation of this topic, not the other day, I think it was yesterday, at the first reunion, when they did the whole deal with the Bar and the Miz, and then they did the whole Shield thing. Not that one, but the next Raw, when they came out through the audience with the full gear, and they got that huge fucking pop for once. That was the Shield return, baby. That was awesome. And they got sidetracked, and they got derailed because of all the injuries and a lot of shit going down. And it was just a complete failure all the way through. Every time they got fucking momentum as the Shield, it just got doused by a bunch of shit. Roman gets sick, so they had to replace him with Triple H and Kurt Angle. And then Roman comes back, but then Dean gets hurt. And then Dean comes back, but Roman's got cancer. It's just the fucking Shield is just cursed. They are fucking cursed. I can't do the Shield anymore. It's done. It's over. You've built them up as individuals so well that I don't care about the group anymore. I just don't. I know that they enjoy doing it, which is fine. It's nice and all, but I don't need it every fucking time. Every time they write themselves into a hole. And the whole thing with Dean did not make any sense at all. Why the fuck would Dean even want to do this? Bam, bam, bam. That stops that topic, and I'm going to continue on here with Dean, because that's my exact point. And go. Why would Dean even want to do this? Because the contract situation is still up in the air, ladies and gentlemen. Work or no work, you can have the debate whether or not Dean Ambrose is staying with the WWE or not staying with the WWE. But the fact of the matter is he has not signed a deal yet. Now, there are people within the know who are saying that they're going to try to get him to sign one before Mania, so they can have a plan in place for Mania to see what happens to him after WrestleMania. And the only logical explanation for Dean at WrestleMania at this point would be Roman Reigns. There's no other opponent for Dean Ambrose. There's no other opponent for Roman Reigns. The whole deal of Dean and Rollins having a falling out because it was always about Seth and it was always making it about himself. Well, what about Roman? That should have been an easy fucking story to tell. And for all you people who were shitting on me, telling me that, oh, what a shitty time for Dean Ambrose to tell the whole, to tell the whole world that he's sick of the Shield and he turns on his brother the day that Roman announces his leukemia and blah, 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 blah. I made a pitch when that happened. I said, everyone's saying that he went too far. I don't think he went far enough. I would have dropped Rollins, and I said this on the episode. You can go back and listen to it. This is months ago, actually October. I said it on that show. I would have dropped Rollins, right? Here comes Roman down the ramp to find out what the hell's going on. There's a bit of a scuffle or whatever, and then he drops Reigns. I was a little bit more specific on that show, but I don't have time to get into detail. He drops Reigns. On the night that Roman Reigns announces he has leukemia, Dean Ambrose drops him on the top of his head, Dirty Deeds. Can you imagine the fucking heat? And now this situation that spot would have made this situation more confusing, because I think Reigns would have still used the whole life is short bullshit to write themselves out of this fucking huge ass hole they wrote themselves into. They still would have used that whole deal, but I do predict that Dean Ambrose will be turning on the both of them, or if not just Roman, at Fastlane, leaving them hanging about to dry, and leading up to that matchup. And that way, it's twofold. Dean gets a matchup he knows he'll enjoy, and he can go out at his back. Roman gets a big win at WrestleMania without being shoveled down everyone's throat. He gets a clean win, and everyone's fucking happy. If you want to get an idea of how confusing it is about this whole Dean Ambrose situation, head over to the WWE Network right now. They have a wonderful series, WWE Chronicle, where they chronicle the stories between a particular time period for a superstar. They've done a few of them, Becky Lynch, Samoa Joe, there's a bunch there. Watch the Dean Ambrose one, and you will see a guy who was completely completely and utterly fed up with all of the bullshit WWE has to fucking offer him. It could still be a work, and I'm leaning more towards the work, but you can see legitimate fucking disgust in this guy's face. He has no fucking clue what he really wants to do, except for the fact that he knows what he loves. Man, this is going by fast, as a matter of fact. So, I didn't hit the play button. Hit the play button, baby. We have another topic. I'm hungry, baby. Give it to me. Bam. This past Saturday, the 2nd, at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, WWE had a house show that took place. And there was a surprise return. Mustafa Ali back from getting punched in the goddamn face. Fresh off the injured list, returned to action to compete against Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship at this house show. This matchup answers a lot of fucking questions and also starts off a lot of questions as well. As far as the answering of questions, this whole Kofi Kingston thing, and I said this on the Kofi Kingston episode. If you look back a few weeks ago, I did an episode, Kofi's Time, Past or Present, where we discussed the whole Kofi Kingston situation, 11 years of battling and trying to get noticed. He was a substitute in the big Elimination Chamber match and the subsequent Gauntlet match. He was a substitute for an injured Ali. And he came in and he had a hell of a performance and he stole the show on both occasions, the Gauntlet and the Elimination Chamber. And here we all are now. We may very well be on the road to Kofi Mania. But at the same time, lest us not forget, he was a substitute for Mustafa Ali. This guy is talented beyond belief. This guy is ridiculously good. And the WWE has very high hopes about him. He's not the biggest guy in the fight. But he's extremely talented. As a matter of fact, somebody made a good point. Mustafa Ali and Daniel Bryan competing for the WWE Championship is odd because if you look at the two of them and take them at face value, you would think that would have been round two of the Cruiserweight Classic. I think it was Lance Storm who wrote a tweet not too long ago where he thinks it's hilarious that the Cruiserweight Champion is actually bigger than both of these guys. Buddy Murphy is not legitimately a 205 guy. I've been saying this for weeks. He's clearly not 205. But he wrestles the style good. He's a hell of a base, and he gets the other guys over with his style, which is good, so it fits. But he is legitimately bigger than Daniel Bryan and Mustafa Ali. So we had two people competing for a heavyweight championship that probably would have had a hard time qualifying for the Cruiserweight Championship based on size. When it comes to their champion. So you have to start asking yourself the question. How much of this Kofi thing was really him? And how much of this was just bad timing on an injury? With Ali. Would we be sitting here talking Ali Mania right now? Probably not. But you know what? Good on Ali. I know he got hurt. But it's probably a good thing. This whole thing would have been rushed. It would have been rushed. Take your time. Develop. Get some feuds underneath you. Get some big wins. And head over to SummerSlam with a fucking chip on your shoulder. What kind of a storyline you think they can come up with if Kofi does win the WWE Championship after subbing for Ali? That's a nice little WWE title match at SummerSlam, don't you think? Ugh. Let's start this bitch over, baby. And speaking of bitches, let's get on this. Boom. Not that these women are bitches. They just keep referring to each other as bitches over and over and over. Rowdy, Ronda Rousey, and Becky Lynch, their feud on Twitter continues. It's been on and off for a while now, but it got heated this past week. It's almost like I'm forgetting, and I've done this a few times, and I know other people have. It's almost like we keep forgetting that this match hasn't been changed for zero reason. It still feels like it's a one-on-one fight, as it should be. This should not be a triple threat match. It should be a one-on-one contest. And I really do feel that that third person was added specifically for a just-in-case. In case they don't want to beat Ronda, in case they don't want to put her in that position, someone to take the fall, a patsy, if you will, if you will. I think the Twitter feud is funny, but I don't fucking care about social media beef. I don't give a shit if the two people beefing have check marks on their fucking account or not. I don't need that shit on my Twitter feed. I need that shit on my TV. And we've been getting it recently somewhat to a fucking degree. It wasn't like she was calling Becky a bitch on television. Matter of fact, she did say bitch, but she was referring to herself. She wasn't even referring to Becky as a bitch. So the whole feud thing and the breaking kayfabe and Rebecca Quinn and all this other stuff, it's an attempt to dip back into what made Ronda an appeal, not an appeal. Not I'll say attraction, that's too strong a word. There was an appeal to her in the first place, to her being in pro wrestling. The realism, the ability to go in there and be real and to shoot and be dangerous overall. If you look at her credentials, she's in the Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle category. But it's hard for people to perceive her as that because, let's face it, she's a woman. And wrestling fans are just trained to think in that way. Ronda goes against that conventional thinking, the way that she should be packaged anyway. It's just unheard of. The way that they should be packaging her as a performer is unheard of. They don't really treat women like that. But she's been helping change the game here, and not just her, but Becky Lynch also being the forefront. I mean, these women are closing the shows out every night. They're closing Raw, they're closing SmackDown. So it's getting bigger, it's getting stronger. But I don't need this on my Twitter feed. I know the 140 characters, the keyboard warrior bullshit that goes back and forth. I don't need it. There's enough of that shit going on already with all these other fucking people on the internet with nothing else to do with their fucking lives. I don't need my pro wrestlers doing it either. Every now and then, a couple jabs, some cheap shots, a couple pictures, maybe a funny meme, whatever. But a full feud, fuck that. All right, we're going to start this over again, and we're going to go from the women in the main event to the Hall of Fame, baby. We got to have this conversation. Bam. So we're starting off here. Hall of Fame discussions. Of course, the leading class for the WWE Hall of Fame. Excuse me, the leading act that will be headlining the WWE Hall of Fame this year. D-Generation X, and let's be specific. That would be Shawn Michaels, Triple H, X-Pac, Road Dogg, Badass, Billy Gunn, and Chyna. Who will be going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I don't know where people are getting these other names from, like Rick Rude and fucking Hornswoggle and Mike Tyson and all kinds of shit. No! We're not doing that. They're not going in. Okay? Let them get a... Rick Rude should be in, to be honest with you. A lot of people have been clamoring for Rick Rude for a long fucking time. But he don't need to get in with DX. Hornswoggle? Swoggle, baby, I'm sorry. Mike Tyson's already in, right? He was the first DX member to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. And, Billy Gunn, in my opinion, I think has more of a right to get in on his own than the rest of these folks. I mean, Triple H, obviously. Shawn's already in. Chyna. Oh, Lord, Chyna. Okay, let's just real quick. This is the main reason why I brought this up. So, DX isn't the only act going in. Honky Tonk Man is also in. Love him or hate him. There are a lot of people in the industry who would literally wipe their ass with Honky Tonk if he didn't put up such a damn fight. Love him, hate him, it's debatable, but he's going in, right? Then they announced Tori Wilson. And I want to explain the scenario before we get to Tori, because Chyna's going in with DX, and there's a lot of people online, obviously a big movement. Oh, Chyna should go in by herself, she shouldn't go in with the group, it's kind of a shame. She does... Chyna, to me, has never really been a Hall of Famer. She contributed a lot with DX. If you want to put her in with DX, I'm all for that. Because as a part of DX, that's where I remember most of her shit. Now, a lot of people start rattling off stats for some reason when they start talking about Chyna going to the Hall of Fame. First ever female Intercontinental Champion. First ever female to be in the Royal Rumble. First female to do this. First female to do that. So, the overall feel or vibe I'm getting is that Chyna should be in simply because she was first, by default, right? She was first, so she should get in. If that's what you're saying, I co-sign, because, yes, she should be awarded and acknowledged for that, because she was first. But let's not try to act like she was first, or like she wasn't first because she was 6 foot whatever, 200-and-something pounds, for Christ's sake. She's the first Intercontinental Champion, and she's the last. Okay, there's a reason for that. And I've been arguing this all week with the whole Chyna deal, but now I have to stop. I have no legitimate argument now. It's completely thrown out the window because they're adding Tori Wilson. So that completely throws everything that I've been saying about Chyna completely out the window. You might as well put her in as a singles. You might as well. I mean, everything's up in the air now if Tori's fucking getting in. So fuck that. Jesus, if Tori's going in. I don't know. Okay, all right. We're back at it again here. Here we go. I like this. This is pretty cool. Swig. killed 3 seconds with that swig there. Let's talk ink, baby. Let's talk tattoos. Obviously, last week I ran down some of the releasings that were taking place amongst performers in the WWE, one of which was TJP. TJ Perkins was released, and we're finding out now that the reason why he was released, besides from not really much of creative can do with him or had for him, but apparently he had gotten some unauthorized tattoos done. If you look at TJP now, he pretty much has sleeves going, which is amazing. He's been like one of the most clean-cut motherfuckers on the planet for a long goddamn time. And yet, here we stand. And apparently a lot of people were freaking out online. Well, how dare they, you know, this is their own personal life. It's their body. It's their skin. They can do whatever they want. Okay, so the reason why I'm bringing it up is because you're all dumb, and you probably shouldn't take that stance because it makes you look foolish. It's a company. It's a business. And their main product is you and your body. And when you taint that body without their wishes, or if you taint that product, they can't sell it anymore. Matter of fact, they don't want to sell it anymore. The only appeal that TJP had was he had this younger, hip vibe to him with the video games and the dabbing and the outfits and all that stuff. Never mind, he's like a 40-year-old, like, he looks like he's 10, but he's like 5,700 years old. It's ridiculous. But he just never ages. So you want to go with that young, youthful look. It grabs a certain section, especially with the cruiserweight style. And he just threw all that shit out the window. He just decided he wanted to get tattoos. Now, that's fine. He's a grown man. He can get tattoos. I'm not saying you shouldn't get tattoos. What I'm saying is that you shouldn't be confused when your profession, whose job with you or relationship with you, is to parade you around like a dummy with strings on and fit a particular mold and or / character that they are trying to promote to the masses. When you go against that without anyone knowing about it, it's damaging to the image. You completely just destroyed everything that they were trying to build with you. And that's not just the WWE, that's everywhere. I've been to jobs, for instance, everyone knows this by now, I used to work security at Yankee Stadium. They had a hair rule at Yankee Stadium. You couldn't have your hair past a certain length. You couldn't have visible tattoos, and to the point where I knew co-workers who had full sleeves. So they had to go out, you know, those little basketball sleeves that you wear for sports and stuff? Like they had to get like a flesh-colored one. You know, so it kind of matches the skin tone a little bit. It covers up the, and it doesn't cover it up 100%, but it covered it up enough. And businesses have these rules. It's all about presentation, guys. You have to keep it in mind, man. Keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. That's all I'm saying. Over time, I get you. I get you. We're going to start this off as soon as this thing got boop, 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 boop. This is one of the ones that I'm going to struggle with because it's going to be hard. So, I put up a post on Facebook the other day. I pretty much said, what the fuck are they doing with Aleister Black? Because my problem with Aleister Black is everyone was asking me, well, what's the big issue? What are they doing? A, he's talking. Why the fuck are you talking? B, he's tagging with Ricochet. What the fuck are we doing with him in a tag team? Right off the bat, you've killed all mystique and all opportunity to give him any mystique. But that's Aleister Black, right? That's the situation we're going on. So when I made this post, immediately people were like, whoop. There it is, folks. That's how they do. They fuck up these NXT call-ups all the time. All the time. And it started getting me thinking, do they really fuck up NXT call-ups all the time? So I decided to make a list. So I got like 2 minutes left. Let's go through this fucking list real quick. Now, this is a list of every call-up from NXT all the way down. No, not all of them, apparently. This one here only stops to about 2017. So it's not completely up to date. The last one they have on here, as a matter of fact, is Bobby Roode. But there's definitely enough content here to really see if any of this has any weight. So let's start at the top of the list here, because now I'm down almost a minute and a half here. It names a bunch of people: Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Big E, Fandango, Summer Rae, Curtis Axel, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Xavier Woods. Those are all considered NXT. I will not consider them NXT. I will not include them in this. They're mainly FCW guys. By the time they went to NXT, they were kind of already in the position to do some stuff. So, Emma, Paige, Rusev, let's start here. Emma, okay, that failed. Paige, yeah, did well. Actually, I was going to keep track. I don't have time anymore. But here we go. Let's just run through it. Emma ended up not working out. Paige, yes. Rusev, I can make an argument it went pretty well. Could it have been better? Yeah. Same thing with Lana. It could be better. Adam Rose, failure. Bo Dallas, failure. Connor and Victor. To me, still the biggest fuck up was Connor and Victor. Kalisto's doing it on night. Neville's gone. Kevin Owens, yes. Sasha, yes. Charlotte, yes. Becky, yes. Braun, yes. Tyler, no. Sammy, yes. Eva's gone. Baron, yes. In spite of the fact that we don't like him, he's been successful. Enzo, no. Big Cass, no. Apollo Crews, kind of in the middle still. Aiden English, yes. I mean, no. Did not go over well. Gotch, gone. Dana Brooke, in the middle. Mojo, in the middle. Nia, yeah, huge success. Finn Balor, yes. Alexa Bliss, yes. Carmella, yes. Jason Jordan, got hurt, but it would have been a yes. Gable, no. Bailey, yes. Rich Swann, gone. Aries, gone. Joe, yes. Dawson, yes. Wilder, yes. Dillinger, gone. Shinsuke, yes. Bobby, yes. So, it obviously don't fuck them all up. Man, I really wish I had more time to explain that. See, that was one of the ones that I knew was going to be tough. But there was I wouldn't say always. I was kind of 50-50 on that one. All right, let's start the clock. I don't want to jip myself. Let's not get too deep into shit. So, I also put up something else on social media. Guys, if you're not following me on social media, you are missing out. I put a poll. A poll was put up, and I had a very specific question. The question was, on April the 6th, the Madison Square Garden will house the New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden, first non-WWE event of this caliber taking place. And I want to say one, two, three, four, maybe five. Five of their biggest guns, that being the Elite, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, will not be in attendance for this event. Does that hurt or does that not hurt your interest in this particular show? And it was almost 50-50. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think some people are fucking lying to themselves, to be honest with you. I think they're lying to themselves. I think when the tickets, I remember specifically sitting in front of my computer when the tickets for the G1 came out. And boy, let me tell you, those tickets were expensive, right? It has to be. It's the Garden, right? You got to make that money back. But I really considered it. And at the end of the day, because I knew I was going to WrestleMania and WrestleMania was going to cost me an arm and a leg, I didn't want to bust the bank on two. So I picked WrestleMania. So I didn't get a ticket then. But when I did, it was a really tough decision because I wanted to see X, Y, and Z. I wanted to see what Kenny Omega was going to do. Primarily Kenny Omega. I've never had a chance to see Kenny Omega work, or I've never worked with him. I've worked with almost literally everyone else in the Elite. I've never worked or had a chance to work with Kenny Omega. And I really wanted to see him perform live. Now, I'm really glad I didn't buy the tickets because I can't see him live. He won't be there. So, me personally, yeah, my interest has waned a little bit. Now, as time passes, we get a little closer to the event, I'm getting a little bit more hyped. I know G.O.D. is going to go against the Briscoes. They're still making plans as to who's going to compete against who. Ring of Honor and New Japan have a real opportunity right now to push some lesser-known talent and really give them an opportunity to shine. It would have been nice to have their big draws in the big building, but it's also another thing to have a whole litany of new faces make their way into the Garden for the first time. I think it means less because, you know, there's not a whole lot of big names there, but I still think you're going to get a great show out of it. It's the G1. It's going to be a home run. Look at that. I've got three left, ladies and gentlemen. Three left. Here we go. Start it up, big man. So, you want to hear about some LOL stuff. Let's talk about some funny shit. So, when you talk about weird stuff going on, grimy stuff, just under the radar, filthy, disgusting, garbagey kind of things, let's talk Jeff Jarrett. Now, Jeff Jarrett is currently in the WWE. He signed a Legends deal, if I'm not mistaken. He's actually an active competitor right now for the short term, of course. I'm sure they'll give him something along the lines of WrestleMania, maybe a Battle Royal appearance, and then that'll be the end of him. But for the most part, he's with the WWE pretty hardcore. Now, before his return to the WWE, he had another position with Anthem Sports, the owners there of Impact Wrestling, as we know. Jeff Jarrett was with TNA, right? He was a co-founder, yada, 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 left. He started Global Force Wrestling. And when he went back to Impact Wrestling, they integrated the two so that they can kind of work with each other, co-promote. And somewhere along the line, Anthem Sports just kind of got a hold of the Masters. Masters being the footage, the primary footage, of apparently 16 one-hour episodes of Global Force Wrestling show called Amped. Anthem Sports had hold of it. So Jeff Jarrett is in the middle of suing them for those Masters. He wants those that material back. I'm sure he wants to make a quick buck, because a lot of those guys that were on those shows are current WWE superstars. I'm sure he'd love to sell it to Vince so he can get his footage on the network and yada, yada, yada. So he's in the middle of a lawsuit right now with Anthem Sports to get a hold of that footage. The problem is, Anthem Sports no longer has possession of this footage. And you're ready to laugh? Because I laughed with a belly laugh. I laughed wholeheartedly, because the reason they gave, they said, no, we don't have these episodes anymore. We don't have this footage. They asked, okay, well, what happened to the footage? We deleted them during the course of normal business activity. Wow, that is a douchey way of saying we just got rid of that fucking thing. So that wasn't even enough. When probed further as to what reasoning could there possibly be for deleting master footage of wrestling shows, especially 16 one-hour episodes, when they have a streaming site, the specific answer that was given was, we deleted it because we needed more space on our drives. Holy fuck. I have full libraries of shows on multiple drives in multiple places in this house. I've never deleted anything since I think 2002. I haven't deleted fuck shit. And they deleted all that fucking thing. And Jared has those things priced out $300,000 apiece. That's $4.8 million worth of shit he's claiming that's valued at, that they destroyed. Yeah, I'm going to talk more about that at another episode. I'm waiting for some more information to come about that. But that'll be the end of that. I'm going to stick to the rules of this game here. I've got two left. One said, and one not so much. Let's go with the sad for now, so we can end it with something nice. And it's a little sad. Here we go. It's a little sad. It's a little underwhelming. It's a little upsetting. But there is a young woman, and I do consider her a young woman, because it's unfortunate all this is happening. A pioneer, a woman who's been around for a long time here in the pro wrestling business. Her name is Luke Fisto. And she has been through some trials and tribulations, my friend, back in 2018, or a little bit more than a year ago. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer, which she beat. She's been a professional wrestler for well over a decade, competed all over the world. She has been with CZW, Shimmer. She held the Shine Championship for 529 days. She has been an absolute workhorse for women's wrestling for a long time. She came up during a time where there weren't a whole lot of ladies. And she was fighting dudes, and she was fighting whatever she had to fight and whatever she had to overcome to achieve her dream and become a professional wrestler. I personally had the privilege to work with her during my time with House of Glory. Consummate professional, wonderful person. You root for her. And it's upsetting, you know, as a, I wouldn't call myself a friend, but let's say a peer or an acquaintance. You root for people like that, because they're just so good and natural, and those are the people you wish the most success for. And it just so happens that she recently, the last year or two, has just been a culmination of all of the opposite of that. Just negative stuff, bad things happening to her, and it's just very unfortunate. Now her career that she's worked so hard for, it looks like it's just about over. Not because of the cancer. She beat that, like I said. She has been dealing with huge knee issues for a while. It's just been revealed to her that she will need a full knee replacement. which will, forget wrestling, it's going to make it difficult for her basically to even walk. It's that bad, the deterioration of the knee. Apparently she's had knee injuries in the past where she's ignored it, and she's basically been operating in the ring and in life in general with no MCL or ACL tendons in the knee in question. I can't imagine wrestling with almost literally no knee, essentially, just bone on bone. But she's been doing that for a while now, and it's caught up to her. It's she's having an inability to really get around. It's causing a lot of pain, so the surgery cannot be put off. She's already canceled bookings, but at the same time, you know, it some things are more important. And I only have a few seconds left here, but, you know, I wish Lufisto well, and I hope she recovers, and I hope she can get a good quality of life there because she's earned it. She really has. Even if she doesn't get back in the ring, I just need her walking again and doing stuff. That would be dope. All right. So our last topic here, we'll bring up here. Hold on. Hit the button. Last topic we're going to get at. Last topic. And we're going to talk more Impact Wrestling. More Impact Wrestling here. But the good stuff, because what Impact is doing right now is very interesting. It's very interesting what Impact is doing right now. One of the big headlines over the past week, Impact working very heavily with MLW, Major League Wrestling, if you haven't heard of them, brand new company, but they're doing a lot of great stuff. Full shows available to you on YouTube channel for MLW. Tony Schiavone at the chair calling matches, that's huge. Low-key, former champion now, I believe. He just recently lost it. But I think he was the inaugural champion, whatever it was. Major League Wrestling is doing some big things, and Impact Wrestling is trying to do the same. So they've been kind of working together. But the reason why I'm bringing this up isn't just these two. You know, Impact Wrestling actually has had agreements in the past with AAA, Lucha Underground, Border City Wrestling, Destiny. There's a lot of companies, Rockstar Pro I know about. They just recently did something with PPW here in the Northeast. The days of Impact kind of trying to be like the WWE, keep to itself, keep to exclusivity, seems to be way gone, and they're not the only ones. Lucha Underground has done stuff with other promotions in the past. Pretty much all of the companies in the UK pretty much coexist with one another at some level or another. Even the WWE, to a degree, having working agreements, working with Ring of Honor in terms of footage, because they have a lot of former Ring of Honor and TNA stars. So, I mean, you got working agreements with GFW GFW, right? Go Fight Network, to showcase TNA footage to promote their performers. The same thing with Ring of Honor footage. I don't know how much Kerry Silkin's getting off the top on those things, but we're living in a world now where it just seems everybody has access to each other. I grew up in an era where companies were kind of separate. You didn't get a whole lot of blending, which led to a lot of dream matches, because what would happen is that you'd have a guy with one company for so long, and then all of a sudden you'd wake up, and the next day he'd be somewhere else, and now you have a whole new fresh lineup of opponents for him and all this stuff. Now it just seems like everything's blending together. I'm living in a world now where it just seems like it's okay. Look, we just talked earlier about Tommaso Ciampa not making an appearance at a third-party wrestling company. I would have never expected that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're living in a different time period right now where it just seems like wrestling is, I don't want to say struggling, but it's getting to a point where they kind of feel the need to band together and make this whole business thing work. And I'm kind of happy about that. I like the idea of all these different companies working together. It's more money for the pot, more money in the boys' pocket. Wrestling getting more exposure. We're doing YouTube. We're doing Twitch. We're doing our own streaming networks. We've got broadcast television coming up for Fox. I mean, wrestling's getting a resurgence. It's becoming different. So that's that. That is that. Those are my 15 topics. Woo! Wow. That was very interesting. Really made the whole damn thing fly right by, didn't it? Man, Jesus Christ. Listen, let me pull this back up again right here just so I can say that, ladies and gentlemen, was the lightning round. Yes. So that was the lightning round. Jesus Christ. That was actually pretty fun. I might do that again soon, actually, if I can get more topics like this to go around. If you guys have any suggestions you want me, because it doesn't have to be current. If you guys want me to talk about some old shit or some different shit, whatever. It doesn't even have to be wrestling either. You can just give me topics in general. If you guys want to throw topics at me for the lightning round, I might do the lightning round for some guests too. That would be very interesting. I would love to see their faces with that clock and just let them go for just 3 minutes just to see what they would do. Oh, man. I felt the pressure at first. And then I don't know if you could tell, but like the third or fourth one, baby, I was in a rhythm. I was in a rhythm. I just started cooking, brother. So, yeah. So that's the lightning round. That was a very fun thing. I got to do some more of that. Anyway, another announcement I wanted to make before we get off the air here, because I just wanted to share some things. I have some new sponsorship coming. And so if you want to be a part of that, if you have something that you would love to have promoted here on the show and you're interested in being a sponsor, it's cheap. It's cheap. I'm not busting anybody's balls about that. I mean, it is dirt cheap. Dirt cheap, and you get to be on the podcast for, like, weeks. Before, what I used to do, I was doing them, like, 4 weeks, like, four shows in a row. I was doing monthly stuff before. And I'm going to do it again. I'm just waiting for... I was told the person in particular who I'm doing the sponsorship deal to wait till we get a little closer to WrestleMania weekend and stuff. So we're holding out. But there's going to be some stuff coming down the pike. So if you're interested in doing that, if you have something you'd like promoted on the show, you can hit me up to my email, ajorsini96host@gmail.com. You can message the show or myself on Facebook. You can do that. There are many, many different options. Also, one final announcement. The live WrestleMania show. So here's the deal with that. Here's the deal that I have with the live WrestleMania show. I have two spots technically available. I have myself, obviously. I have Steven James, who kind of has to be there. But I would have loved. I love having him on anyway. I don't want him to feel like he's a secondary thing here. He's important to the show as well. Which leaves two spots. Now I have one spot in particular that I know that I want to use for a particular somebody. But I was toying with the idea of what to do with the fourth, because I keep telling people I want new voices. I want new voices on the show. I want different opinions. I want people to freshen this whole thing up. So one of the ideas that I came up with was to not pick a friend. I have my friends on the show a lot, pretty much all, with the exception of a few guests, but even the guests to a degree are, if not friends, definitely acquaintances and peers that I'm close with. My idea now was to do something completely against what I would normally do, which is you. I wanted to offer you guys an opportunity to be the fourth man at the table here, or woman. It all depends. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to shoot a nice little video for you guys and give you all the information that I'm going to give you right now, the information, but I'm going to reiterate this information in the video in case people miss it. But I want to make the announcement here on the show that I am interested in doing one of the fans for the fourth spot. It'll be live. So if you're going to be nervous about that kind of thing, this probably isn't the contest for you. But if you want to get into a room with a bunch of people talking wrestling, talking WrestleMania, because that's going to be the topic matter, folks. It's going to be talking about WrestleMania. If it's 2 hours and the studio is in North Jersey, so if you can make that, it's got to be in person. Don't enter the contest and then tell me that you're looking for the Skype phone number, because you're not going to get one. You need to get to the place in question. I will give you that information once chosen, and we can work that out. As far as transportation, how are you going to get there, yada, yada, yada. We'll figure all that stuff out. But the first thing we have to do is figure out how we're going to go about this. So the way that I decided to do this was WrestleMania is very huge to me. Last year, I did a whole My Road to WrestleMania deal. I told my own story of what WrestleMania means to me, and I got very personal with that. What I want from somebody who's going to be the fourth person at the table is for you to share your story with me. There are many ways to do this and many ways for you to feel comfortable, or I want you to feel comfortable in doing this. One, you can email me. I gave you the email address already, ajorsini96host@gmail.com. You can message me. Message me on Facebook or the page itself, or Sini's Uncensored Mind. You can message the page as well, and you can and put your information there. Or the third, and this is the one that I really, really want, if possible, it will really increase your chances if you do this, an audio soundbite. Now, what information do I want sent to me? I already said it, and I'll say it again, but this time I'll get more specific. I don't want your personal information. You don't need to give me credit cards or your life story. What does WrestleMania mean to you? How important is it to your life? Be honest. If you're a wrestling fan, but it's really not that big a deal to you, if you can make a convincing argument as to why WrestleMania isn't that huge for you, but you would still like to be on the show, I'm willing to hear it. I am willing to hear it. Not being a huge fan of WrestleMania will not disqualify you from the conversation. But you got to be a real wrestling fan, and I need to hear it. The soundbite, if you want to do the soundbite, which I really would prefer because I would love to use the audio for it, it doesn't have to be huge. Like, it doesn't have to be long. Same thing with the message. You don't have to give me 8 paragraphs. It's not a thesis. You don't have to write an essay. Just give me a roundabout reason as to why WrestleMania is important to you and what it means to you. That's it. And the most convincing story that I get, I will pick that person and you will be the 4th person on the panel. If we get close to the date, which I'll announce soon, hopefully. I have to get that date figured out from the studio. But when I announce the date, if it's a date you cannot make, do not enter. If it's a location you cannot get to, do not enter. Please only enter this contest if you're able to actually physically do it. If you're not able to physically do it, then you're wasting everybody's time. So, that's the deal. It's going to be a contest. Again, I'll go into all these specifics in a separate video. There's some other stuff, too, but I'm pretty much done with this episode because I am exhausted. And it is even later than I anticipated. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying the lightning round, round, round. It doesn't feel right. Hold on. Let me do that again. Oh, the lightning round, 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 round. The audio still stopped and it was still going. Oh, Jesus. All right. Good night.
Welcome to our daddy show. This is Ocean Senses Mine. If you listen to my daddy show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.